Jesus' holidays to open hearts of people. And this is a great week, and I think for us to be reminded that Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Let's pray for open doors and opportunities, and may we walk through them with boldness and with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a great week, a great opportunity this week in declaring that we know that my Redeemer liveth, and to be able to share what that means to divine appointments that the Lord gives you. This has been a great day, a great day of coming together to look at how to honor the Lord with our wealth. We are delighted in having in our service today Dr. Jeffrey Steed, who has come to share with us. We had a great house in order conference and seminar during the Bible Fellowship Hour. And now we come, and the opportunity to open the Word and for God to be at work in our life to transform who we are, as we shared in our fighter verse, to abound in the grace of giving. It's not just that we give, but that God transforms who we are and that we become a giver, just as Christ, who gave himself for us. With great delight, Jeff, if you'll come and give you the time to share with us, we're delighted to have him here and to share with us. Thank you, brother, for blessing us today.
Special honor to be with you this morning. As I mentioned in the earlier session, been praying for this day and just, again, looking forward to being with you in San Antonio at the Hills Church. And let me go to the Lord in prayer this morning if I can. Father God, we are, again, so grateful for the opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I just pray that as we continue in this time of worship today, as we open your holy word, Father, I pray that you'll speak to every single in some way this morning. I pray you'll direct our hearts. I pray you'll help us to engage with you, Father. Lord, I pray that as we look at your holy word, Father, again, you will be with us. You will speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2018, we lost the following individuals: Billy Graham, American evangelist, prominent evangelical Christian figure, ordained Southern Baptist minister who became well known internationally in the 1940s. One of his biographers has placed him among one of the most influential Christian leaders of the 20th century. And I think we'd all agree with that, right? There are likely folks in the room today that you or a family member impacted by the ministry of Billy Graham. Billy passed away last year. Bob Buford, another individual we lost, East Texas guy, started a cable TV pioneer, social entrepreneur, venture philanthropist, wrote the book Halftime. Some of you may have read that. And phenomenal book about making significance for the kingdom in the second half of life. He headed up the Peter F. Drucker Foundation for Nonprofit Management. Incredibly impacted the lives of many, many individuals for the kingdom. We also lost Barbara Bush, the wife of H.W. Bush, who was the 41st president of the United States of America. And Barbara served as the first lady from 1989 to 1993. And Barbara had an incredible impact on the presidency of the United States of America. And we also lost her husband a little bit later than that, George H.W. Bush. He passed away November 30th, 2018, an aviator in World War II, member of Congress, United Nations ambassador, director of the CIA, vice president, and ultimately the president of the United States of America. Every single one of these individuals have passed away. But what they did on this earth will far outlive their earthly lives. Their legacies will continue and are continuing today. I want to talk to you about a woman in Scripture this morning, and her legacy also continues 2,000 years after the fact. And most of you know her story. In fact, some of you have taught her story, like in Sunday school and so forth. But I want to look at her story in Luke 21 this morning. Luke 21, and I'll give you just a moment to find that in your Scriptures this morning. Luke 21, beginning in verse 1. Luke 21, beginning in verse 1. And he, he here is Christ. Luke 21, beginning in verse 1, and he and Christ looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So Christ said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all of these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put all the livelihood that she had. I believe this woman, this widow woman, left an incredible legacy for you and I 2,000 years after the fact because of what she was willing to do that day. This widow woman, she was willing to give out of her poverty to the Lord. What is poverty? Think about that for a moment. Poverty is where you lack something, right, in your life, physically, or maybe mentally. You just perceptually feel like you're lacking. You feel like you're impoverished in a certain area of your life. More than likely, every single one of us in this room is in poverty in one way or the other. You may be impoverished from the standpoint of financially, like this widow woman, and can relate to her this morning because ends just don't meet every month. You may be impoverished from a time standpoint in your life in which you just don't have enough time, right? You just can't get it all done. Maybe juggling between maybe family responsibilities and work and church and just everything. You just can't seem to get it all done. And you feel a burden on your shoulders because of that, right? And there would probably be some in the room today that would lobby for 25 hours in a day. Now, think about that for a moment, okay? What would you do with that extra hour, right? I'm making a mental list right now, you know, some things I would want to do, right? And so let's say that God gave us 25 hours in a day. What would we want this week, right? I mean, we'd want 26, right, and 27. And you know, God knew what he was doing, right? 24 hours in a day is just the way it's supposed to work, right? But again, because of just all that you have going on in your life, again, you may just feel that burden that you're impoverished from a time standpoint. For others in the room, you may feel impoverished from a giftedness standpoint. You may be thinking about maybe even the person beside you this morning and how gifted they are in a particular area. And you had that. You're saying, God, I wish I had that gift, right? You may feel impoverished. You know, it's very gifted a worship team this morning, and y'all are blessed as a church. You really are. I'm in different churches. Y'all are very blessed to have this worship team this morning. Just lead us to the throne room of heaven, you know? But I get a little envious. I'll just be honest, okay? Confessional time. I get a little envious of folks that are gifted in music because I'm not gifted at all, okay? And people that stand around me while we're singing, they can testify to that, okay? I do not have the gift of music at all, and I wish I did. And, you know, but it's one of those things, again, you may feel impoverished from a giftedness standpoint that you wish you had a certain gift or talent, you know? And again, may feel impoverished. So you may feel impoverished financially or in time or giftedness or whatever it is, but more than likely, every single one of us in the room is in poverty in one way to where we feel lacking in our life. The ironic thing is, that may be the very area that God may call you to give out of. If you recognize he does that once in a while, you might say, well, Jeff, why wouldn't he call me to give out in an area where I feel abundant, right? Where I have to feel to give it, right? But don't we, when God wants us to do something and give out that area of poverty, don't we have to depend upon him that much more in our life, not on us and our abundance, but his and his abundance do we have to depend upon when he calls us to give out of that area of poverty, right? So it helps us grow in our relationship with him. And this whole idea, as far as God calling to people to give out of their area of poverty where they feel lacking in their life, is nothing new, right, in Scripture. Think about, so we'll go several years before this story with this widow woman and with Moses, okay? So remember the story. God told Moses to go to the Pharaoh guy, right? Remember, the Pharaoh was in charge of hundreds of thousands of Israelites. Literally, the Israelites were slaves to the Pharaoh, okay? They reported to him. And basically, what did God tell Moses to do? Remember the story? Moses, I want you to go to the Pharaoh, the guy in charge of hundreds of thousands of Israelites. I want you to go to that guy. And I want you to tell him what? Let my people go, right? And what was Moses' response? God, I can't do that. I'm paraphrasing. But God, I can't do that, right? I can't do this or that. I can't speak. I can't do this. He gave God several excuses why not Well, he couldn't do it, right? But eventually Moses was willing to obey God in his life, to be faithful to God. And God made a way. And Moses went to the Pharaoh and told him, you know the rest of the story, right? And so again, Moses felt impoverished to do it, right? He didn't feel equipped, but God made a way because Moses was faithful, right? Again, this whole idea of God calling people to give out of the area of poverty is nothing new in Scripture. And I want to encourage us today, when God calls us to do that, or when God calls us at all, and notice I said when God calls, right? Because as believers, as children of God in the room, God calls us to do things. He calls us to partner in ministry with Him. He calls us to do things in our life. Some may we consider minor, some we may consider major. But God calls us to do things in our life. God may call you in the next few minutes to do something in your life. God may call you in the next few hours. He may wake you up from your Sunday afternoon nap today, right? You may be driving to work tomorrow, and God just speaks through a song on the radio, a worship song, and you just know that God is convening you to do a certain thing in your life, or in the next few weeks or months. But God calls, right? But God calls. He calls us to journey with Him in life. I want to encourage us, when God calls, whatever it is, whether we consider major or minor in life, when God calls us, I want to encourage every single one of us, including myself this morning, to say yes to God and what He wants to do in our life. Because that is God knocking at the door of your heart, inviting you to walk through it and potentially experience Him like never before in your life. And when you experience God at that new level in your life, you never want to return the way things were. You want to get to know Him more and more in your life. You want to embrace Him and engage with Him more and more in your life. So when God calls, that is God knocking at the door of your heart, inviting you to walk through it and experiencing Him potentially like never before. This widow woman, she had to have grown in her faith that day because of what she was willing to do. How could she not have, right? This widow woman, what did she give that day, by the way? 2 mites. So if you were to take a penny out of your pocket, 1 penny, slice the penny 5 ways. Okay, 1 penny, 5 slices. Take 2 of those slices out. That is approximately the worth of what she gave that day 2,000 years ago. It's worthless, right? It's worthless. From a human standpoint, it was worthless. But to her, it meant something because that's all she had, right? The Scripture tells us that is all she had. She was willing to give to God. Apparently, she felt God call her to do that, to give that day. But this widow woman, when I read stories about like this widow woman and others in Scripture and other Christian believers that take huge steps in their life, the question that comes to my mind just about every time when I read stories like this is what kind of person would do that? What kind of person would do that? I'm just being transparent with you this morning. I don't know if I'm there yet. I don't know if I'm there yet. But you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, need to be willing to go there. We need to be willing to do anything for the cause of Christ. And so when I ask the question of myself, when I read stories like this widow woman, I ask, what type of person would do that? And I believe God answers me the same way every single time. Jeff, it's the type of person that crosses over the line and says, God, I'm no longer on this earth for me. Every cent in my bank account, every second of my day, every ounce of my existence as a human being, every part of my DNA, God, now is at your disposal, God. I'm your slave, God. You are my master, God. That's who I believe we're talking about here this morning, in the form of this widow woman 2,000 years ago that was willing to do anything for the cause of Christ. You might be asking and thinking, how can somebody do that? Take that huge step in their life to cross over the line and be willing to do anything for the cause of Christ. You might be saying, how? How is that possible? Well, the secret ingredient to what we're talking about here this morning in individuals being willing to do anything for the cause of Christ, the secret ingredient to what we're talking about is faith this morning. It's faith. Faith that knowing that God is on the other side of that line. Faith that knowing that God is going to provide whatever is needed to accomplish His will and way in your life. It is faith that knowing that God is going to lead you through it, right? So faith is so important to what we're talking about here this morning. What is it? Think about it for a second. What is faith to you? What is faith? Faith is depending upon the lift of air of that aircraft as you look out that window, no matter how many times you've flown and say, God, I hope this works the way it always is supposed to work, right? Having faith that it's going to get off the ground as tons and tons of steel. Faith as well as that small child depending upon the caring arms of their parent. That having faith that parent's going to keep them secure and not drop them, but keep them safe and secure. Faith as well as depending upon the invisibility of gravity as we are sitting and standing today. Faith as well as that baseball glove is coming in your hand as a baseball is coming at you at 100 miles an hour, right? Being able to have faith that it's going to be able to withstand the impact of that ball, right? Faith was demonstrated several years ago in a small farming community. In that small farming community, it had not rained in weeks, and those weeks literally turned into months. And the entire area was so dependent on agriculture and crops and so forth and cattle that it was getting to a point of desperation in that town. And to the point to where the word around town was, are we going to survive? You know, is our town going to survive? That's how desperate it was. And on a particular Sunday, all the pastors of the local churches in that community asked their people to do one thing, to show up next Saturday at the town square at 12 o'clock to pray that God would intervene, that pray that God would touch their situation, right? And they also asked them to bring some type of object of faith, something that reminded them of their, you know, a scripture or a cross, just something that reminded them of their faith. And it didn't rain that week, and the desperation continued to grow. Saturday came around, 12 o'clock, and people started showing up in masses in that area, all around. I mean, people were like looking around like, I had no idea this many people existed in the area, right? But they started showing up, and that kind of showed you the desperation in that area. And that they were going to plead before God starting at 12 o'clock. They were going to pray that God would send rain. And what I'm about to tell you was not in the weather forecast for the day. But about 1 o'clock, the clouds began to roll in, kind of like they did yesterday here, you know. The clouds began to roll in. And remember, it had not rained in months, okay? And about 1 o'clock, a little after, began to sprinkle on that area. It began a downpour on that area. That prayer service turned into a worship service pretty quick as they began just praising God at the top of their lungs, just worshiping Him in the middle of that town square. And remember their faith objects they brought, their scriptures or crosses or whatever. They started holding those to the heavens and just praising the name of God that day, an historic event that probably none of them would ever forget the rest of their lives. But there was one faith object that stood out among all the rest. And as a 9-year-old boy was getting ready that morning to go to the town square to pray, he was thinking about, what should I take? Reminds me of my faith in God. And a little after one, as that crowd was worshiping God, after the rains were coming, that 9-year-old boy held his faith object up in the midst of that group. That 9-year-old boy, that day, his faith object was an umbrella, knowing that God would show up, knowing that God would provide. And when God calls us in our life to do something, even out of an area of poverty, it's a matter of bringing the umbrella. It's a matter of knowing that God is going to show up. It's a matter of having that faith in Him that goes beyond all human comprehension. It's a matter of taking an umbrella. And when we experience God at that level in our life, when we have taken that umbrella and we have faith in Him and God works through us for the sake of what He wants to do in our life, we take that step of faith, we walk through that door in which we experience God potentially like never before in our life. And when we experience God, as I mentioned earlier, like that in our life, we never want to return the way things were. We're saying, God, challenge me again, God, so I get to know you more. God, challenge me, engage with me, God, because I want to know your face more. I want to know you more. I want to know your holy presence, God. I want to encourage us, when God calls us in our life to do something, even if it's out of an area of poverty, even giving out of that area of poverty, I want to encourage us today to be willing to say yes to God, to be willing to walk through that door of invitation from Him, to experience Him potentially like never before. Because you and I, that may be the only opportunity we have. We never know when we're passing away from this place. That may be the only opportunity we have the rest of our lives to get to know God like never before in our life. I want to encourage us to walk through that door. Something also really important about what we're talking about here today is this type of giving of ourself, right? Crossing over the line, willing to do anything for the cause of Christ. This type of giving of ourself often occurs in here at the heart level and not always up here at the mind level. You might say, Jeff, what do you mean by that? Did it make sense for this widow woman, from a human mind standpoint, did it make sense for this human, this widow woman, to give everything she had that day? Did it make sense? It didn't make sense at all, right? From a human mind standpoint, she had to say, God, I trust you in here. I'm calling me to do this. God, I trust you in here. Because I don't know how this is going to work out, right? From a human mind standpoint. This whole idea as far as God calling us to give of ourselves, often, again, we've got to say, God, I trust you in here. It's not making sense up here at the time. There are probably testimonies all around this room today of God calling you to do something at a certain time, and it did not make sense at the time. And you may even ask God or question God, God, why? You know, I can give you a couple of testimonies personally this morning, but there are testimonies all around this room this morning probably of God calling you to do something, and it didn't make sense at the time, but God's economy is different than ours. The way God thinks is different than ours, thank goodness, right? His ways are higher than our ways, right? We've got to trust God when He calls us to do something, even if it doesn't make sense. We've got to be willing to say, God, I trust you in here. I trust you in here. There are probably half of us in the room today that are analytical thinkers. You know what I mean by that? They like numbers, you know? They like for things to add up. I'm one of those, good or bad, you know? But, you know, it's very, those of us that are like that are analytical, it's very, very difficult for us to embrace what we're talking about here today. Being willing to give God anything, being willing to do anything for the cause of Christ when He calls us to do it. Because again, it will not always make us appear when God calls us. It's very difficult for us as analytical thinkers to be willing to take that step. I hope I'm not the only one that's done this, but if I have a major decision to make, you know, I'll get in front of the computer, get a piece of paper out, and I will list all the advantages for making a decision this way, right? And all the disadvantages over here, if the advantages outweigh the disadvantages, I've got my answer. Easy, right? Hope I'm not the only one that's done that. But, you know, if you think somewhere along those lines, kind of analytical again, it's hard for us to embrace this. But I'm just saying that I'm following God when He calls us. It's not always going to make sense from a human mind standpoint. It's just not. Sometimes we've got to trust Him in here. So there's another reason why it's really important to trust God in here, even when it doesn't make sense, when He calls us to do something. Because when God calls us to do something, there's like a 99.9% probability who else is going to show up. 99% probability Satan's going to be right there whispering in your ears, saying, "Why? You know, I know God's calling you to do this, but you don't need to do this." I mean, that's what, you might say, well, Jeff, why are you thinking that? Well, that's what Satan does to me. When God calls me to do something, Satan's right there whispering in my ears, telling me every reason imaginable not to follow what God wants me to do in my life. Satan shows up, right? Sometimes when I read stories like this, like this widow woman and others in scriptures, I kind of like to place myself there. And you may be the same way. You're reading through a story, and you know, from your mind's eye, you like to put yourself there and kind of see it play out. And I want us to do that this morning with this story. And what I'm about to tell you, this part, it's just the way I look at it, okay? This part's not in Scripture. This is just how I look at the story as I read through it, okay? But I want us to do that this morning, just in your own mind's eye, as if we were there 2,000 years ago in the room with this widow woman. And I kind of picture them in a place of worship like this, okay? Obviously, no windows with glass in them back then, right? But they had windows with shutters. They kind of pulled back, right? So as they gathered for that place of worship, in that place of worship that day, you know, they probably pulled back the shutters just to let some fresh air in, right? Maybe a little light, natural light coming in. And as they gathered that day, and whatever they sat on, you know, blankets or benches or whatever. I really don't know what they sat on, but whatever they sat on, they just started gathering in. And it's probably beside the busy city streets, right? More than likely, place of worship. And so you got all the noises coming in from outside, right? All the people passing by. You've got all the animals, the oxen and whatever else kind of out there passing by, and all this animal smells kind of coming in, right? And just for a few moments, I want us to place ourselves there as if we were there 2,000 years ago in this place of worship with this widow woman. Probably a few lights, lamps, old lamps, probably lit around to light up the place. By the way, Christ was there, right? He's telling the story. Christ was there. I kind of seen just off to the side watching all this play out, you know. But this widow woman, it came time for the offering. And this is just the way I look at it, okay? This part's not in Scripture. This is just the way I look at the stories. I read through it. But it came time for the offering, and I kind of just picture him kind of lining up, because there's a basket or clay pot down here that they're putting in their coins or whatever they have, okay? And so just for, in your mind's eye, I want you to picture just for a moment right here in this aisle, the people lining up. And they're going to be coming by and putting their coins or whatever in. And in the middle of that line, in your mind's eye, I want you to see that widow woman. In a way, can't you see Satan whispering in her ear? You know, woman, I know what you're about to do that you feel like God wants you to do, but woman, God doesn't need your money. In fact, what are you going to eat tonight if you give that away? How are you going to survive this week? And again, I think that way because that's what Satan does to me when God wants me to do something. That widow woman could have said, you're right, right? Gone back to her chair, said, I'm good, right? But as that line starts moving forward and that widow woman remains in that line, she gets closer and closer up here to the front. Probably the heart's pumping a little faster, right? I mean, because she knows the significance of what she's going to do personally. She gets up here and puts one of those mites in, one of those coins. And she could have said, God, I'm good. I gave you half of what you want me to give. I know you wanted me to give everything today, but God, I gave you half. I'm good. And gone back to her chair and been done with it, right? It's not what she did. We do know from the Scripture she gave it all. She gave it all. In your mind's eye, I want you to see that second coin hitting that clay pot. I want you to hear it hitting that clay pot. This widow woman, she was faithful. She was faithful to do what she felt like God wanted her to do that day. When God calls us to do something, whatever it is, even giving out of an area of poverty, I want to encourage us to be faithful, to resist any temptation from Satan, because it will be there. And we have the power through the Holy Spirit, believers in the room, Christians, Christ followers, those that have committed their life to Jesus Christ, that believe that he died on the cross and rose again on the third day, the individuals that believe that, that confess that, that are believers in Jesus Christ, We have the opportunity to follow him. He speaks to us, right? He speaks to us when God speaks. I want to encourage you to defeat any temptation. And as believers, again in the room, you have the power of God within you through the Holy Spirit to defeat the temptation. We can't do it on our own, but through the Holy Spirit living within us, we have access to that power. When we are tempted, it's a matter of saying, God, I need some help. I need some help. When you're tempted, right, to rely upon that power in your life and to be willing to do anything that God calls us to do to defeat the temptation in your life. So I want to remind us today that when God calls us even to give out of an area of poverty in our life, I want to encourage you to say yes to God. Because again, that is God literally knocking at the door of your heart, inviting you to walk through it and experience him potentially like never before. And again, this type of giving of ourself often occurs in here, saying, God, it doesn't make sense up here, but I'm going to trust you in here in my heart. Because again, it's not making sense. It's being willing to do that. It's a matter of fighting any temptation of Satan in your life and being willing to be faithful to what God wants to do in your life. These type of individuals, like this widow woman, that at some point in life, they step over the line and being willing to do anything for the cause of Christ, being willing to say, God, everything I have, every ounce of my existence, God, every penny in my bank account, every second of my day, every part of my existence as a human being, God, is now for your glory, not for self-glory, but for your glory and what you want to do in my life. Those type of individuals that cross over the line like this widow woman that God tends to use pretty incredible ways while they're on this earth. Do you think this widow woman had any idea that her story would end up in this holy book? Think she had any idea that millions and millions of people would read her story over the last 2,000 years and be inspired by it? You think she had any idea that on April 14, 2019, at the Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas, that we would be looking at her life? She had no idea, obviously, the impact of what God would take in this part of her life. And we're talking 30 minutes of her life, probably, give or take. Depends on how long the message was that day, right? But I mean, 30 minutes, right? Let's say 30 minutes of her life. We know nothing else about her. We don't even know her name, but we know the legacies that she has left for us 2,000 years after the fact. Legacies are left in lots of different ways. It may be that God takes 30 minutes of your life, like this widow woman, and does something so incredible through it that you leave impact around folks around you now, but for generations to come. It may be that your legacy is involved in the way you teach values to your children, to your grandchildren, and great-grandchildren of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Your legacy may be to your family. Some in the room, by the way, you may be the only Christian, the only believer in some of your families. God may want to use you to bring your family into a saving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That may be the legacy for your family. For it's what God wants to do through you for impact. Legacies are left a lot of different ways. Legacies over the last 15 years, I've had the opportunity to work with many folks through their last will and testimony, right? Of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to impact their family and impact the kingdom. So I've had the opportunity to work with many folks that have done that, left legacies literally to what they value in life. Legacies are left lots of different ways. Impact is left in lots of different ways to what we have valued in life. But the question I want to ask us this morning is, where are you at in relation line? Are you ready? Are you prepared for all that God wants to do through your life? For impact now, potentially for generations after you have changed addresses one day, right? Generations to come as for impact. So again, the question, are you ready? Are you prepared spiritually for what God wants to do in your life? Have you crossed over the line this morning? David Livingstone is probably one of my favorite historical figures outside of Scripture. David, and you, some of you may know the story of David. He lived a long time ago, back in the 1800s. And David was sitting in a worship service like this. And they had it like their church, again, back 1800s, okay? And had a medical missionary that morning, and which is very rare, okay, medical missions. And David's sitting back there, and God taps David on the shoulder and says, David, I want you to do that. I want you to go to medical missions, right? And David's going, wait a minute. And, you know, basically I'm paraphrasing, but God, I can't do that. I'm not equipped. You know, I think so-and-so, you know, somewhere else could do a lot better. You know, I don't think I'm would be very good at it. And but David further received that call from God, received that conviction from God that that's what he was supposed to do. And it took a while, right? And he had to get prepared and trained and everything. He would end up being married in 1844 and would have 6 children. But in 1845, his wife and child at the time, the Livingstones, went to Africa to be medical missionaries on the outskirts. At that point in time, 1800s is much too dangerous on the inner parts. Cannibalism and everything else, it was dangerous in the inner parts of Africa at that point. And so they started ministering on the outskirts of Africa, just sharing the gospel message with folks. And then David gets that tap on the shoulder again. And God told David, David, y'all are doing a great job, you and your family, ministering and sharing the gospel. But I want you to go to the heart of Africa, where my name, where my gospel is not known at all. That's where I want you to go, David. David ran from that for quite some time. But you could see God working on his heart, because every letter he would write back home to people back in London, he would end it like this: who will penetrate the heart of Africa? You know, you see God working on him, right? For long, David knew he would never have a peace in his life until he surrendered to that. So on April 23rd, 1852, through many tears, he sent his family on a ship back to London, because it was much too dangerous for them. And David threw himself literally into the heart of Africa at that point in time. And he had 31 attacks of intermittent fever, had the most painful type of dysentery, was deprived of food many, many, many days, literally saw the cannibalism and everything else going on at that day and time, the violence. It was a culture shock, right? If it would have been for you and I back 2,000 years ago, 200 years ago. And, you know, it was a culture shock to him. But he continued to be faithful to what God wanted him to do. And God worked through that and blessed that effort. But he missed his family dearly. And so he went back home to see them a couple of times. And on one of those times, we call it furlough today, by the way, like for missionaries, when they go back home for a certain time period. But when David went back home to see his family on those trips in 1862, his wife died. And David, his state of mind, and we know from his journal, he didn't feel like he had anything else to give to anybody, including God. He was finished. He was done. He literally wanted to go in a closet and die. That was his state of mind at that point in time, because he was so depressed over the loss of his wife. And it took 7 years of God continuing to work on his life before he returned to the heart of Africa. And when he did, 7 years later, God worked through his ministry in incredible ways, to where thousands and thousands and thousands of people heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ because of his willingness to go back. March 19th, 1872, he wrote in his journal, 59 years old, my birthday, my Jesus, my King, my Lord, my all, I can dedicate my whole self to thee. And then it was on May 1, 1873, he was in his tent, and a boy was outside the tent, hollered in for David. David did not respond, and so the boy went to a nearby community, and they went in the tent together, and they found David. He had been kneeling in prayer beside his cot, and there was still a candle flickering off to the side, and he had died away in prayer before his Lord. That part of Africa, the physical heart, represents something of passion, and they knew David's passion was right there in the center of Africa with the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and they physically took his heart and buried it under a tree there in the center part of Africa, again, because they knew that's where his passion was. They sent his body back to Westminster Abbey, London, where it's still buried today. But somehow, his story got out. The New York Times and other world newspapers, the New York Times hadn't been around that long, they picked up on David's story. And what do you think God did through that? Inspired many, many individuals to go where? The heart of Africa, to pick up on the work that David had started. You know, when I read stories like this of David Livingstone and like the widow woman we looked at today, the question that goes through my mind just about every time I read those stories is, what kind of person would do that? What kind of person would be willing to do that? I want to ask you if you'll stand with me this morning. And I want to ask you if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning. And as the instrumentalists come, I want to ask you a question that I want to encourage every single one of us in the room today to answer. Just one question before we leave. One question. And that question is this: where do you stand in relation to the line? Where do you stand in relation to the line? Every one of us fits in one of these three stories this morning. The first story is this: Jeff, I've never crossed over the line. I've never began a relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ. That's my story, but I want to know more. I want to explore that, or I want to cross over today. To follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the most important decision you will make in your entire life. To follow Jesus, to cross over that line. And there is no better opportunity as we approach this week leading up to the death of our Lord on Friday and leading up to the celebration on Sunday of Easter. There is no better time today than to cross over. If that's your story, Pastor Dennis is going to be down here at the front today during our invitation time. I want to encourage you to take him by the hand and say, Dennis, tell me how to cross over. There are others in the room this morning that your story may be, Jeff, you know, I crossed over years ago. I'm on the other side of the line. But your toe, your foot keeps touching the line. Your level of commitment to God keeps wavering. And if we were to be honest this morning, every single one of us in the room has been there. We've all wavered. But I want to encourage you, if that's your story this morning, to put both feet firmly planted on the other side of that line this morning. This prayer altar is open this morning. You can pray right where you're at. But I want to encourage you, if that's your story, to get it right today, to put both feet firmly planted on the other side of that line. There are other folks in the room this morning that you may say, Jeff, my story is this, that I've crossed over the line. I feel like my relationship with God is in a good place today. I feel like it's growing. If that's your story, I want to encourage you to ask God one question this morning. One question: God, what's next? What's next that you want to do through my life that has impact around me now but for generations to come? God, what's next? Every single one of us in this room fits in one of those stories this morning. I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, to take it to the next level today. I want to encourage you to take that next step, wherever it may be today. In this time of invitation, as we're led in worship, I want to encourage you to go ahead and keep your heads bowed and eyes closed today. Pastor Dennis is at the front. This prayer altar is open today. I encourage you not to leave this place without taking that next step.